Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report with your host, Brittany Broski.
Hello to all and to all a hello. It is a beautiful Tuesday this morning here in Broski Nation. 61, a little cloudy, okay? We're going to make the best of what today has to offer. Plentiful, bountiful blessings to each and every member of Broski Nation. Like I said, Broski Nation, the tides are shifting, okay? It's an election year. Vote for me if you can. I think I'm the only one on the ballot. Say one more time. I'm now hyper aware of this, and I've been sucked into the vortex of TikTok, like the people who are speech therapists, people who specialize in corporate events, teaching people how, okay, is there a bug on me? Oh, they're just under my skin. You guys ever pick real good? You guys pick your ingrowns? Come on. I don't want anyone in the car listening to be like, you don't pick your ingrowns? Whatever, dude. I'm sick of being the only, like, freak nasty woman who's willing to be gross. I pick my ingrowns, and guess what? I like it. Every time you pop a little ingrown, like, on your leg or wherever, and it comes out all clean and nice, hey, that's like, that's equivalent to, like, climaxing, I think. The equivalent to sexual climax and getting an ingrown real good. How about when you get a chin hair real good? All right, whatever. What was I talking about? Oh, the people on TikTok who were like, I'm a professional speech consultant for corporate America, and here are my top 5 tips for how to give a good speech. And I'm like, damn, I gotta listen to this. I gotta listen to this. I got a nation to address. I was a comm major. There's still, never stop learning. Never stop learning. You are a student of life constantly. There are always things to learn. There are always things you can improve. And it does not behoove you to have an ego and to double down and be dogmatic in something that, you know, could be changed. And give yourself grace, guys. I posted this meme on my Instagram that says, damn, bro, did you seriously just do your best with the information that you had available to you at the time? And if that ain't the fucking truth, I mean, seriously, you know what I mean? We're all just monkeys with computers. And that's actually so true. I'm a monkey that my computer has shit smeared all over the screen. I'm a monkey with one of those child case iPads, like the really rubbery ones, so they don't like knock their temple on it or like knock out a tooth or whatever. Also, so you can grip it real good. I'm a monkey with an iPad, shit all over it. Okay, I'm picking my butt and I'm eating strawberries. I'm eating strawberries with one finger in my butt, and then when I take it out of my butt, I'm touching the screen. You want to know my new obsession? This isn't even a paid promo. It's this app that fucking, they always get me. It's a game. It's a mobile game. And oh my God, if you are listening to this, please sponsor me, because I have spent upwards. Okay, maybe this is an intervention. There is a game called Cake Sort. It's just a sorting game. It makes my brain vibrate like, it makes my brain vibrate like an atom. Do atoms vibrate? Does Adam Driver vibrate? Do atoms vibrate? Vibranium. Atoms are made up of protons, electrons, and Jimmy neutrons. Electrons revolve around the protons, covering most of the space of the atom. Yeah, bro, I know all this. Since the electrons are in constant motion, that's honestly such a flex, reading this. Yeah, okay, I know this. Moving on. Since the electrons are in constant motion, they cause atomic vibration. Even at absolute zero temperature, the electrons keep moving, and hence, an atom vibrates always. Do you know how high level that joke I just made was? It makes my brain vibrate like an atom. I am a student of physics. I could teach a physics class. How fast does an atom vibrate? Oh, and of course, everyone here knows that the typical vibrational frequencies range from less than 10 to the 13th power hertz to approximately 10 to the 14th power hertz. Duh. And I'm just now realizing that hertz is the name of a battery company because of that. Okay, so the more you know. Guys, wake up. Class is in session. Get up. What does Hertz mean? What does Hertz mean? Hertz is a unit of frequency equivalent to one event per second. What? One event. The Hertz is an SI derived unit whose expression in terms of SI base units is S to the negative one. Fuck y'all. I'm serious. What are you talking about? This was my, I hated this shit in calculus, in physics. You have me, okay? Talking about, okay, we're doing electrical currents. This is positive. This is negative. It flows this way. What happens if you change it to this? Okay, obviously it goes that way. Then you start introducing this bullshit. You introduce Klingon into the fucking equation, and now I have a gun. I brought a gun to my physics class because your ass is speaking Klingon. Does Hertz mean speed? Clock speed is measured by how many ticks per second the clock makes. The unit of measurement called a Hertz, which is technically one cycle per second, is used to measure clock speed. Okay, clock speed, that's just going to be the seconds on the iPhone clock, bro. I don't know what Hertz is. So Hertz could be anything. What does Hertz measure? The rate at which current changes, wait, frequency is the rate at which current changes direction per second. Any current? So if it's a wave and it's, I thought that was, it is measured in Hertz, an international unit of measure where one Hertz is equal to one cycle. So it could be Hertz of anything, energy, electricity. I guess electricity is energy. Oh my God. I know I probably don't have a lot of, now see, okay. Physician and physicist, two completely separate academic studies. Okay. I probably don't have that many physicists. But if there is the oddball physicist who is a consumer of, you know, the Broski Report, go ahead and shoot me a DM because, hey, I've got some questions. I'm trying to figure this shit out, okay? If we put our heads together, me and some of the physicists in Broski Nation, we could really get some shit figured out. I'm serious. Climate change, me and a physicist alone in a room for 30 minutes, me and a physicist 7 minutes in heaven. Hey, leave me 7 minutes in heaven in a closet with a physicist. We're coming out. Climate change is fixed. Oh, I'm a monkey with an iPad. Yeah, so there's shit all over the iPad and on it. Oh my God, Cake Sort. Cake Sort is this game I've been obsessed with, and I am going to really bare my soul to y'all here for a second. And I think that, like, if I get comments that are like, we should really talk about this in a serious way, because this behavior is concerning, I would understand. And I'm opening myself up to said criticism only for this. If you criticize me about anything else, I will actually delete everything. I'll delete all my accounts, okay? On Cake Sort, I have spent upwards of, and this is a gross estimation, okay, $150 of my own money. I do not have a sponsorship with this game. I am not affiliated with this game in any way other than the fact that it has targeted and nuked a receptor in my brain that brings me pleasure, similar to that of, like I said, a vibrational orgasm, you know, an orgasm. A vibrational orgasm, what does that mean? It's an orgasm of the brain. Now, in the last episode, or maybe two episodes ago, we talked about how your brain has a foreskin. Mine is circumcised. Okay, that kind of goes without saying. It's why my forehead is so big. I have a problem now that the tip, my tip, is exposed. My brain tip. I'm more susceptible than most to con jobs, phishing scams. Okay? I have an issue. So when I got this ad for this fucking game, I was like, oh, that looks pretty. Downloaded the game. Way too many ads. Way too many ads. Johnny, oh my God, I hate that shit. You want me to play your game? I'm playing the game. Get the ads out of my face. I get it, dude. I get it. Ads make the world go round. Not on my Christian game, Cake Sort. I sometimes at night take a multivitaminal edible, okay? Gummy multivitamin, a THC gummy, upwards of 15 milligrams of THC. I put on rainy ambience. I put on some relaxing classical music on my Google. I've got my ambient lighting. And I'm tearing up Cake Sort on my iPhone. iPhone plugged into the charger. Okay, rain sounds. Beethoven, Bach, Schubert, Johann Schubert. Isn't that his name? Oh no, Johannes Brahms, Franz Schubert. Y'all don't know shit about the Rosette Collection, Schubert, Symphony No. 8, Symphony No. 9, London Symphony Orchestra, Vienna Philharmonic, Joseph Klips. I love Schubert, bro. Frédéric Chopin, Franz Schubert, Ludwig von Beethoven. Damn, these Germans were going psycho on it. Crazy on you! Beethoven, nationality. Should we make bets? I guess I'm into betting now. Because I play Cake Sort, I've spent over $100 on this game. I told my bestie Taylor that, and she was like, you have a problem. Guess what she downloaded 2 days later? Cake Sort. These haters, the calls coming from inside the house. Ludwig von Beethoven was a German composer and pianist. He was a penis, bro! Ew! Ludwig von Penis was a German composer and penis. What? Ew. He's one of the most revered figures in the history of Western music. Sorry, Beethoven. Sorry, I made a penis joke on your name. Schubert. Nationality. I can almost promise you it's going to be German. Austrian. You know what? Keep on your toes. Keep on the sunny side of life. And if you guys don't know that album, that is actually going to be the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack, which I think I've talked about in extensive detail on this podcast. And if I haven't, allow me to get into it right now. The Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack opened my heart to bluegrass. It opened my heart to, honestly, on my dad's side, I've got a bunch of people who live in the Tennessee Mountains. Real rednecks. I mean, if you really think about it. And on my mom's side, they're all Texans, all over the state of Texas. Going back to like Irish immigrants, they settled in Texas. And I have always felt connected to, you know, like mountain bluegrass and folk music like that, like traditional bluegrass. And I always wondered why. Because when I was in, this was probably freshman year of high school, I watched that movie for the first time and I listened to the soundtrack and I was like, now what is this? Has anyone like explored what this could be? Guys, this bluegrass shit, that new sound you're looking for, yeah, you're going to want to hear this. And it's just Ralph Stanley. It's just Alison Krauss. Bluegrass joke. That album really, really changed my life. I started because obviously when it's a motion picture soundtrack like that, you're compiling a lot of really famous musicians in that genre to come together for a project that fits it's the soundtrack of the movie. So it fits the aesthetic. It helps tell the story. And that's how I discovered Ralph Stanley. And that's how I discovered Earl and Scruggs Flats and Scruggs, Alison Krauss. Bill Monroe, all these really incredible, iconic, groundbreaking, you know, like really some of the most famous bluegrass musicians. And let me pull it up. Oh, brother, where art thou? And if you don't know about this story, this is a retelling of the Iliad or the Odyssey. Which one is it? Oh, brother, where art thou? The Odyssey. It's it's set in, what is this, 20s, 30s, 40s, in what state? God, I haven't seen it in so long because I only listen to the soundtrack. Its story is a modern satire, which, while incorporating social features of the American South, is loosely based on Homer's epic Greek poem, The Odyssey. Some examples of this include sirens, a cyclops, and the main character's name, Ulysses, which is the Roman name for Odysseus. It's set in 1930s Mississippi. That's right. The movie follows the journey of three chain gang convicts who escape and embark on a quest to recover hidden treasure. It's so fucking good. This episode is sponsored by Blissey. Fans of the podcast know I ride for these gorgeous little pillowcases. So set yourself up with better sleep with Blissey's award-winning 100% mulberry silk pillowcases. Silk is what's best for your hair and skin. It reduces frizz, tangles, and prevents breakage. That's because it keeps the moisture in your hair and keeps your skincare products and natural moisture on your skin, while cotton absorbs it off your face. It's time to wake up with healthier and shinier hair. There's a lot of dupes out there that claim satin can be an alternative to silk, but that is just not the case, people. Satin is made from synthetic fibers, like polyester, while silk is a luxurious, all-natural fiber. Silk is more breathable, moisture-wicking, and gentle. It's also more durable and long-lasting. So think of it as an investment in getting better sleep and waking up feeling ready to take on the day. Blissey pillowcases are made of 100% mulberry silk, which is naturally hypoallergenic, so you can sleep more comfortably without itching or rashes. And unlike other silk pillowcases, these are of the highest quality silk and are machine washable and durable. I've started traveling with these now too because I notice a difference when I sleep in hotels or at other people's houses and I don't have them with me. I literally wake up with a rat's nest. They've got tons of different prints and colors, and they can make great gifts because there's an option for literally anyone. Men love them too. Hey, men gotta sleep too. They have over 1 million raving fans, and you could be next. Try now risk-free for 60 nights at blissey.com/broski and get an additional 30% off. That's blissy.com/broski and use code broski to get an additional 30% off. Your skin and hair will thank you. Anyway, let's pull up the soundtrack. We've got Alison Krauss, of course. We've got The Whites. Gillian Welch and Alison Krauss. Oh my God, I forgot they had Emmylou Harris on this. Emmylou Harris, Alison Krauss, Gillian Welch. And they sing Didn't Leave Nobody But the Baby. They didn't leave nobody but the baby. Go to sleep, pretty baby. Go to sleep, pretty baby. So good. I am weary, let me rest. Song makes me cry. In the Jailhouse Now, Soggy Bottom Boys, of course. Oh, Death. I mean, these are all so good. Angel Band, some of my favorite Ralph Stanley songs, and this is weird as of recently, because I was going to get into my songs I've been bumping lately, and it's all over the fucking place, but I've really been back into bluegrass, which I don't know where that came from, because sometimes my music will shuffle, and it'll play songs that I liked, like maybe, you know, 6-7 years ago, and I'm like, God damn! Because one of Ralph Stanley's songs came on shuffle the other day, which was... At the Top of the Stairs? What's that song called? Room at the Top of the Stairs. I love that song. There is another song called, where'd it go? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. These are all gospel songs. I mean, they're mountain church bluegrass gospel songs that, I mean, obviously y'all know how I feel about religion and about my whole journey with Christianity, but there is this sort of yearning nostalgia for the community and comfort that church provides, the fellowship. And I know that's an overused and kind of bastardized term, but like the fellowship of the church and having people that, while we view it as something that's a little invasive, maybe, you know, but people, having people know about the struggles that you're going through in your life, whether that's a medical struggle or a relationship struggle or anything, you know, something with your children, your marriage. In today's times, you know, it's like, that's my business. Everyone's in my business. Like, they don't need to know anything. And at the same time, we overshare on social media. But there is an innocence to, you know, the fellowship of being in a church of, if you are going through a struggle, having people there who care to the point where they're willing to pray for you. You know, they're taking time out of their day to pray that your life gets better. When you strip it back and think about religion and Christianity as what it is intended to be in its most pure form, you know, I do. I've experienced that and I miss it sometimes, but not enough to go back. I mean, there's so many, I have so many qualms with the church that it's just sort of, I'll figure it out on my own. And I went on on Theo Von's podcast, and we talked about this a little bit at the very end, where I asked him about his relationship with religion, and he said, you know, he is spiritual, and he does pray, and the world is too much for him sometimes, and it's a heavy weight on his shoulders, and praying helps alleviate that. I completely understand that. Oh my God, I completely understand that. And that is one risk of when you leave the church and you think, you know, maybe it's an ego thing, maybe it's just rejecting religion as a concept, but it's this, you're taking on, I can deal with this better than some, you know, arguably make-believe figure can. Because is that a level of delusion that I think someone or something is taking that burden off my shoulders? That's not real for me. You know, I think that that's a little bit of a, it's scapegoating. It's, I don't want to deal with this and I don't want to worry about it anymore, so I'm just going to put it on someone else. And I know that's kind of the whole fucking point of Christianity is, you know, the story of he died for your sin so you don't have to sort of thing. But at the same time, it just doesn't sit right with me that, you know, just because I'm choosing not to worry about this thing anymore doesn't mean that I shouldn't or that that thing doesn't exist anymore. It's casting off the anxiety and the stress of dealing with that thing or coming to terms with that thing. And there is a piece that comes with admitting that it's out of your control. And it's a weird thing in my life that I deal with where I just need to have control, and you're told that you should be doing more and you should have more control of it. And it's like, I don't, though. I'm just a woman. You know, I'm just one person. And I've said it before, you know, I envy the faithful, especially coming from a place of previously held faith. And so it's a strange thing for me. I mean, to go back to listening to bluegrass, that I have such, whether I want to admit it or not, an emotional attachment to. I have an emotional attachment to gospel music, which it's hard not to. Have you ever listened to gospel? Speaking of which, Yolanda Adams is on my most played of this month. Yolanda Adams, the queen of gospel music. Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams. I think that there's a comfort there where I can still listen to bluegrass, and a feeling washes over me almost of it's going to be okay. You know, you can cast all your doubts and worries onto this thing. But I don't really know where I sit with it now. And I'm constantly, you know, I'm not going to have a definitive statement on it because things are ever changing. But it's such just a wishy-washy, you know, I can't find my feet can't find stable ground sort of thing, where I miss the fellowship of the church, but I don't miss the judgment and the condescension and the shame that comes with being a part of the church. And I think a lot of modern pastors and preachers have lost their fucking way. Oh my God, they've lost their way. And digital, you know, it's not even televangelism anymore. It's like social media evangelism. It's so weird how there's a new resurgence. There's a lot happening in the world right now where I understand a lot of people are turning to religion because they feel so lost and helpless and powerless. And you need a community. We always talk about the loss of third spaces and the loss of a communal sort of meeting ground, where people can just go to meet each other and hang out and without the assumption or, you know, without having to spend money. And church is that for a lot of people. And I would never want to take away from how important that is, but I always feel the need to highlight that it can be damaging. Some of these churches and these pastors that have lost their way and just are preaching shit, you have the ear of very vulnerable people, and you have the ear of the youth. And the youth gets on social media and will spread that message. And sometimes it's not a good message. It's very, very, you know. Anyway, so I've been listening to a lot of bluegrass lately, and all that's kind of swirling around in my head because God, I love the music. I just love And also, they don't... I feel the need to point out something with bluegrass music and a lot of folk music in general. The skill level. Do you know how fast bluegrass goes? And how fast your fingers got to move on that banjo and on the guitars and all the mandolin and all these things that's like, oh my God, and the fiddle players. It's such a skill. And a lot of the super famous bluegrass players are not academically taught. You know, these aren't people who are coming out of a music college or anything. It's fucking, that's like God-given talent, or it's just they have the ear for it. It's almost this savant level of you hear it, you pick it up, and you just keep honing the skill. And then you play with other people who are like, and it's just, it's a beautiful, I love watching Billy Strings play. And, you know, he's keeping it alive. I love what Billy Strings does. But yeah, Yolanda Adams, there's this TV show that's been on for like 19 seasons or something like that. That is a gospel American Idol. Y'all know about this? I think it's on BET. What's it called? Sunday Best. And I wanted to watch it and I couldn't find a way to. Because you have to, it's one of those of like, you have to, it's on, I mean, Amazon Prime, but you have to have a subscription through Paramount Penis Plus, and you have to actually, oh, you don't have Max HBO Disney Plus Vox? You don't have Tubi? Oh, you don't have Peepoo? Oh, if you don't have Peepoo Premium, you cannot watch this. I'm so sorry. Maybe try investing in Peepoo Premium. Like, girl. Oh. Well, hell, this is a 10-hour 10-hour live stream. Sunday Best Performances live stream. It's on YouTube. All right, I'll be watching that tonight. That's crazy. Anyway, let's get into the other, my other songs of the week. Let's sort of nip it in the butt right now. Oh my God. Okay, where do I start? First of all, I've been bumping Ariana's album like they are taking Spotify out of my cold, dead hands. I've been streaming that shit, not even like, oh, let's get Ariana's streams up. It's like, I did not realize I needed it so much. Eternal Sunshine and Deeper Well by Casey, of course. Can I be vulnerable for a second? I have spent the last 4, 5, 6 years of my life since the social media shit happened of focusing on, you know, what am I doing? And what does all this mean? And what does it mean to go from being a quote unquote normal person, going to school, graduating, getting a shitty job, being miserable, you know, to this, to where I get to do this for a living, which seems so silly. It's so silly, but it's so important to so many people. And it's such a blessing. And it's a privilege to get to do this, you know, and I'm constantly just in this state of awe that I even, people, first of all, want to tune in. And second of all, that it's something that is a prolonged career, like that this is a real career that is important, but also a perfect balance of like silly, but you know what I'm trying to say. Anyway. I've been going through this mental change for the last 4 or 5 years. And then all that also mixed up with the pandemic and limited physical interactions with people, you know, for 2 years. And also living in LA, it was just the constant back and forth. The politics of living in LA during the pandemic were crazy. Having lived through all that and being where I am now, and I'm always on here talking about, you know, it's a constant half joke of just yearning, open, unabashed yearning from the pit of my gooch up to the top of my brain's tip, yearning, just like Pride and Prejudice level yearning, always from when I wake to when I sleep and in between. And also, I've been through situationships before over all this time of like, every single time it's like I open myself up, I open the metaphorical rib cage up and reveal my timid beating heart. And on it is like an olive branch. And out of it grows a honeysuckle bud. And there's a dove. I've opened up my rib cage, and it's just the most vulnerable, raw parts of me to every man I've ever talked to in a romantic, intimate way. And I've just been, you know, I've barely closed my rib cage in time before they could really, really hurt me. But there's damage. And I think that having done that so many times of like, okay, I'm ready to open myself up again. And then I'm just like, why did I do that? Why did I do that? And then resigning yourself to, there's so much of this discourse on TikTok, which I eat up with a fucking fork and knife of when you grew up plus size, or when you didn't date in high school, or when you sort of came into your own sexuality in college, and then, you know, you enter the workforce, and then all you kind of have is your coworkers as a dating pool. You have to resort to dating apps. It's fucking dismal, dude. It's dismal. When that is your lived experience, how would you ever know what a healthy, communicative, reciprocated emotional connection looks like if you've never lived through it, you've never experienced it? And, you know, I've had boyfriends before, but it's like never been, it's almost felt like it was dating out of convenience. These men never saw me as a woman. It's the constant comparison of men that like women and men that are attracted to women. And that is, it's been my experience thus far. I have felt very unseen by men my whole life. And if men have admitted that I'm funny or they enjoy my presence, it's almost out of this jealousy that I'm funnier than them. That's happened to me a lot in a social setting, or if I'm riffing or being way funnier than the man in the group, it's like he'll laugh and then kind of look at me like, like he fucking hates it. And it's like, I've become accustomed to that of maybe, you know, men just aren't attracted to funny women. And that's just going to be sort of something I deal with. And it's the constant. We've talked about this before. You dim your light for what? That is not a way to achieve or reach happiness, true happiness. You should never have to dim your intensity or your shine or your whatever for a man, for any partner. And I'm finally at a point where I've accepted all these things. I've emotionally matured to the point where I know what I am and am not willing to accept. And Casey's album, to bring it back to Casey Musgrave's album is all about that. Of like, if you've been hurt before, or if you feel yourself shutting down, you feel the steel walls being put up, insulating yourself because you're just like, I can't fucking do this again. Like, I would just rather. But regardless, you make the decision to. The album's about that. And it's been so, like, wow. You know when an artist, one of your favorite artists drops an album that you're like, I didn't know I actually needed this as much as I did. I didn't think I would relate to this as much as I do. That's been Deeper Well for me. So, shout out to Casey Musgraves. You are absolutely brain rotted. You need to be studied. You need to be locked away for a very long time. Casey Musgraves, room reveal. Casey Musgraves, scientists, get her. Get her and lock her away. Cuff me. So yeah, I've been loving Deeper Well. Eternal Sunshine is just so good. I think it's top two for me, Ariana. Okay, and whatever, bitch. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and argue with you, bitches. Thank You Next is my favorite Ariana album. Eternal Sunshine is number two. Probably Dangerous Woman is a number three. What's that album? It's not called Dangerous Woman. Ariana Grande. Eternal Sunshine. Not Yours Truly. What the fuck? I loved Positions. Dangerous Woman. Yeah, that's the name of the album. Dangerous Woman is probably third for me because New Better Forever Boy, the extended version on SoundCloud. What do you bitches know about the extended version on SoundCloud? You bitches don't know anything about Ariana Grande. Damn. God, I love Ariana Grande. Eternal Sunshine, Deeper Well, and One More Night by Maroon 5. What do you bitches know about? Ooh. Oh, baby, give me one more night. Ooh. You and I go hard at each other like we're going to war. Are you kidding me? How about, baby, baby, I'm praying on you tonight. Honey, Danny, you alive, just like animals. Maroon 5. Yeah, Adam Levine's a fucking crazy sexual psycho freak. I don't know. I don't... Okay, Lee, I don't... Not touching that. I'm not touching that. Maroon 5, however? Animals, One More Night. How about Sunday Morning? How about Harder to Breathe? It's getting harder and harder to breathe. Damn. What's the other one? Maroon. Maroon 5 got some motherfucking bangers. This love has taken its toll. Everyone go listen to Maroon 5. And all the recent shit they've been doing. Ass. Shit out of a butt. It's shit out of a butt in a toilet. Memories bring back you. Shit out of a butt. Beautiful Mistakes. Not fucking with it. How about... I don't mind spending every day out on your corner in the pouring rain. Damn. How about really makes me wonder how you ever gonna think about. They've got so many fucking, you know what? Girls like you and me, guys. I'm pinching it off. Girls like you as in guys like shit the turd out of my butt. I'm shitting a big fat turd out of my butt. That song is bad. Oh my god. What's another one? What's another one? Wake Up Call? Damn, that fucking song. If you needed love, well, then ask for love. Should have given love. Now I'm taking love. And it's not my fault. And we both deserve what's coming now. Don't say a word. Holy shit. I'm never gonna leave this bed. There are so many fucking Maroon 5 songs that are so good. You know what else? The Script. Holy shit. The Script? For the first time. Ooh. How about this one? What am I supposed to do when the best part of me was always you and the man who can't be moved, break even? When I'm still in love with you, so if one day you wake up and find that you're missing me and your heart starts to wonder, hey, on this earth, I could... Millie rocking the man who can't be moved by this script. Hitting the Dougie to Hall of Fame featuring Will I Am, which has a billion streams, by the way. 1.4 billion streams. Standing in a Hall of Fame and what's gonna know your name? No! Oh my god, how do I not follow the script on Spotify? Boom, followed 21 million monthly listeners, and you've just got another one. Their 2011 album, Science and Faith. They're so fucking me, dude. Damn. Yeah, some of the Maroon 5 songs, shit from a butt, dude. What about, and I mean, Nickelback, that kind of goes without saying. Nickelback got way too much hate. I'm a Nickelback stan until I fucking die, by the way. That's twin for real. That's twin Chad Kroger. Chad Kruger. Chad Freddy Krueger. Chad the Tuck Kroger. Adam the Tuck Levine. All right. What do we like? Like, really? Like, really? Fuck up. My recent search is being The Script, Maroon 5, Ariana Grande, Yolanda Adams. Like, what are we doing? Okay. You want to know the other album I've been banging? Death of Peace of Mind by. You guessed it, Bad Omens. What the fuck is that album called? The Death of Peace of Mind. Yeah, their 2022 album. Here are my top ones. Concrete Jungle, Death of Peace of Mind, What It Cost, Like a Villain. Just Pretend. Damn, Just Pretend is so good. this whole album goes crazy, 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 crazy. And I discovered Bad Omens around the same time I discovered Sleep Token. And I am seeing Sleep Token in May. And I'm going to freak the fuck out, bitch. Oh, my God. I've got to see Bad Omens on tour. I don't know if they're on tour. Bad Omens tour. I need to see him live. Oh, my God. They're in Europe right now. That is fucked. Bad Omens is an American metalcore band from Richmond, Virginia. They are not from the motherfucking VA. Formed in 2015 by vocalist and producer Noah Sebastian, need, guitarist Nicholas Ruffillo, need, and bassist Vincent Requier, need. Richmond, Virginia is crazy. Bad Omens tour, Los Angeles, please, for the love of Christ. Let's see it. Show me Los Angeles. Okay, website's broken. Yeah, this album goes crazy. Been loving that. Also, I have been back into Motomami Plus. Motomami Extended, because that has Chidi, LAX, Lakilier. Lucky, 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 yeah. Damn. It's also got what's the other one I like? Those three are my favorite. Oh, Despecha, obviously. Chidi. Ichichi chidi. Oh, Nikaena. Oh, ichichi chidi. Esta hina chow. Soy heroina. Damn. Ooh, ooh, ooh. La calle está enamorada de mí. Delirio de grandeza, bizcochito, bulerías. What's the one I really like? Yeah, Diablo. And La Conversace. Damn, I memorized the whole dance to that shit. Oh, can Rosalía, can you drop something? Rosalía, I don't want to rush your art, but damn, I need it bad. Motomami came out in 2022. That feels like 17 freaking years ago, bro. I remember sobbing my fucking eyes out when I listened to it for the first time. Because the way that, and I still haven't done my Motomami in-depth analysis. If you guys still want that, let me know. Because I don't know if you guys like the first one that I did. Because I could talk about Rosalía and Hozier for hours. Hours. Motomami was structured in a sort of side A, side B way of the track list alternates between Moto, which is this sort of high energy, you know, dance, like really almost arca, like, and then Mami, which is the sentimental, vulnerable, really just like soul bearing part of her. And it's this honest project of those are the two sides of her. Her mom is like a for real Moto Mami, like rides a motorcycle. Motorcycles are really big in her family and in the culture of Barcelona as well. And so Motomami, as, you know, cute of a name as it is, it really embodies, I think, her brand. It's the perfect branding of the way that she structured it, too. It's a roller coaster of emotion, because that's how life is. One day you're up, one day you're down. At 1 hour of the day, you're fucking up, and then it can come crashing down immediately. And it explores all these themes of, like, fame. She's got her song La Fama with The Weeknd, which is about, you know, the fame. What's the translation? Es mal amante la fama. Nunca de verdad. Fame is a bad lover. They'll never love you, really. And then, si quiere casar con ella, pero nunca le va, ya se ha casado. You want to be married to the fame, but like she'll never really love you or like want to be with you. Because fame is fleeting and it's a false sort of, you know. They call it Tinseltown for a reason, people. Okay. Okay. They call it Tinseltown. Hollywood, because it's all glitz and glamour, but up close, it's tinsel. You know what I mean? It's all shadows and mirrors. No, smoke and mirrors. Okay. Now, Motomami was, I don't know if, I think I like them equally. I think I like El Mal Querer and Motomami equally, because they're such different projects. One's a concept album and one is like this really vulnerable polished, well-done, experimental, genre-bending album. And this other one is all that as well. You know, it mixes trap with flamenco, with pop, with electronic music. Both are very exploratory and experimental, but Motomami for me, really, it's such a beautiful, well-done, branded thing for Rosalía, which is, I just respect the fuck out of anyone who knows themselves that well. Because it's hard. It's hard to know yourself intimately in that way. When there are so many outside external factors telling you what you should be, from, you know, how you look, to where you're from, to how you speak, to the languages you speak, to it's just like all of these things should determine who you are according to, you know, the external. But when you shut that out and you lock yourself away and you sit with your own two hands looking in the mirror and you ask yourself, who are you? What do you come up with? Without this noise or people in your ear telling you what you should be, what are you? Rosalía knows who she is. And that's such a beautiful, inspirational thing to watch and to listen to. And her style is so unique, and she's so cute, and her humor, you know, she's just loves to laugh. Life is about laughing, and it's about experimenting and trying everything. And I love her to goddamn death. She really inspires me to live life to the fullest. And to love unabashedly, to not hold back in love. Why, what is ever gained from being nonchalant? What is gained? I don't know what cool means anymore. I don't know if cool has a real definition, especially in the context of love. Anyway, Rosalía has been on repeat. Guys, we have got to talk about Lana. We have to talk about Lana Chella. Oh my God. Where the fuck is it, by the way, on YouTube? I thought they would post the full performance on YouTube because we watched it on the live stream. It's not there. And I wonder, because I think Coachella Weekend 2 is this weekend. Are they not going to post it until it's like both weekends are done? Also, is she going to come out the same way? Okay. First of all, let's walk through it. The entrance with the motorcycles, with "I need a gangster to love me better," the Kehlani song. Holy shit. Okay. Her and the dancers. Oh my God, those looks are incredible. I think it was Dolce & Gabbana that did it. Oh my God. Looked incredible. Hair, everything. It's delivering classic Lana the way that you want it. Hot, fresh, and ready. Little Caesars. Pizza, pizza. Lana, Lana. That's how I felt. She comes out, hits all the fucking bangers. I think that Lana Del Rey is such a brand. I mean, you're talking about, you know, these women who just know who the fuck they are and what they're about. And it's something that they know it to the point where they're selling it to you. And I'm buying it, bitch. Lana girls, anyone who loves Lana, it's such an identifiable, understandable concept. Like, if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, fuck off. I used to talk to this dude who was like, yeah, my ex liked Lana. She was psycho. And I'm thinking, what the fuck did you do to make her psycho? Girl, what did you do to make her psycho? Anyway. She's brilliant. It was brilliant. The whole show was brilliant. The set list was brilliant. The stage design, Billy and John Batiste coming out. Holy shit. It was so just everything you could want from a Lana set, I think. It's the nostalgia of, you know, when I was in high school, of like the 2014, 2015. She did Born to Die, bitch. Are you serious? Are you serious? She did Cherry. Are you serious? Oh my God. Cherry by Lana is actually one of the songs of the week that I wrote down. Oh, I also wrote down, I'm so excited for Charlie's new album. We'll talk about that in a second. Fucking Charlie XCX. Oh my God. Charlie and Troy going on tour. Oh my God. Gay people, stand up. Gay people, it's your time. Get in the fucking party bus. Get in the Sprinter van. Okay, so the Lana set. I just think that it's so, I mean, you could see the people in the audience like crying. That shit's real, dude. That shit is real. Lana's one of those artists that's transformative for a lot of young people. When you heard her music for the first time, it's like, this is opening me up to a world that I just did not even know about. Like AmeriCore, but it's this tongue-in-cheek, almost like sultry, ironic way of consuming American culture. It's almost like American culture from the outside. What I imagine outside, like non-Americans, how they view America almost as well. But it comes from this deep appreciation for Americana. And wow. And so to go through all the eras that Lana's had, all the albums, the perfect set list, she really, I mean, just on stage, I was at the edge of my seat of like, what the fuck is she doing? And what is she going to do next? Like she was singing in this sort of Alex Turner way of, it's kind of offbeat, but it works. It's this ad-libby, airy, whimsical thing. And everyone's trying to, you know, you and I, we were born to die. And she's like not singing it because the audience is so loud. They're screaming it at her. She's just kind of dancing. Icon, 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 icon. So good. Such a beautiful stage presence. And that video clip of her when she leaves the stage and she's like this. And she's just looking around, making eye contact with everyone in the crowd. Just like, wow. Holy shit, dude. That crowd for Lana, what was it, like 125,000 people? Jesus Christ. I want to be her so bad. I just can't shut the fuck up. That classic meme of like, I want to be sexy and mysterious so bad, but I cannot shut the fuck up. God damn, if that ain't me. Lana is everything. God, you want to be her so bad, but it's like so much of the Lana allure is, you know, it's this like sultry, you're just a man. It's just what, I can't shut the fuck up. It's hard. I can't stop saying that shit out of a butt and grunting into a microphone, you know, grunting like I'm taking a fat turd, like I'm dropping a fat turd into a toilet, into the mic. So so Lana's on stage at Coachella singing beautifully into a microphone for millions to hear. Okay, across the world. I'm sat in my home, grunting into a microphone, simulating, taking a shit. And talking about God. Crying about bluegrass, acting like I'm grunting out a big fat turd into the toilet. It doesn't get better than this, guys. You're looking at peak womanhood. You're looking at peak adulthood. This is the fully developed metamorphosis form of what a woman should be. That's very scary. That's a scary thought. A scary truth, a scary reality. Scientists hate her because she speaks the truth. Lana Del Rey. You know, another thing I wrote about Lana's Coachella set. Men could never understand this. I wrote that as I was watching it. Men could never get this. Damn. I was thinking about Remy and Alicia the whole time. I was like, God. They get it. They get it. Remy and Alicia, that's their bestie. Lana, Remy, and Alicia, they're like this. Okay? Eiffel Tower. They get it. Men could never understand that bullshit. And that just goes to show, that dude I used to talk to who was like, and my ex was psycho about, I should have stopped talking to him right then and there. I was weak. This is 2021. Please, Lord. Please, God. Give it. Please, Jesus Christ, forgive me. I come to you with open arms. Donald Trump, if you can hear me, please save me. Donald Trump, please forgive me if you can hear me. Anyway, my last song of my songs of the week are It's Back to Him by Amelia Moore. Bitch, if you're not into Amelia Moore, you need to fucking grow up. Sweet and Sour by Amelia Moore. That bitch has the vocals of like truly, she has studied the greats and she's delivering riff after run after just, it's Tori Kelly level. And I don't know why. I mean, Sweet and Sour was a big song, but like Back to Him, she's been teasing this song for months now. And I've been liking every video and I've been like, when's it coming out? When's it coming out? When's it coming out? I mean, like for 4 or 5 months, it's finally out. Bitch, it's been on repeat. It's so good. And it's in direct contrast with what I'm going through with Kacey Musgraves and Deeper Well of like, I'm opening my heart to a new love that might blossom. A new love that might really be good for me if I just like open my heart to it. And then this song is like, oh, no, 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 go, don't mind it. Like, don't go back to him. If he ain't got the money for a bed frame, he's too broke to take up any headspace. That's going to be the lyric from the song, okay? You can't trust a man that's skipping leg day, okay? Don't go back to him. That's the lyric. And she's actually so, so, so right about that. She's actually so right about that. You can't trust a man that's skipping leg day. Damn. You can't trust a bird-chested, twig-legged little boy to deal with your heart, okay? Guys, I think that'll do it for me. Oh, Charlie's album. Oh, my God. I'm just living that life on Dutch stuff, passing on cause it up. She better bring Addison Rae out on tour. Addison Rae, can you come on Royal Court? Addison Rae and Kai Cenat, can you guys come on Royal Court? Seriously. Seriously, guys. Just, if you don't mind. If you don't mind. I would love to have Addison Rae on. It's just going to be us in silence, just dancing, no music. Just grunting, my bones popping, my joints popping. Ow, shit. Us stretching, groin shots of me. Sorry. Stupid. Okay, guys, I think that'll just about do it for me for this episode. I love y'all for real. I do love y'all for real. Okay, be good. Go listen to all those songs and go watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou for the love of Christ. I'm going to watch Yolanda Adams' show. Actually, is she on the show? Yolanda Adams' Sunday Best. Yes, she's on it. I'm pretty sure. The new season welcomes gospel recording artist Pastor Donnie McClurkin and Yolanda Adams to the stellar team of judges. Yeah, she's a judge, period. All right, y'all. Seriously, what the fuck does hurts mean? Okay? That's still open in my shit. I don't know what hurts measures still. I'll be real fucking for real with you guys. Love you. Be good. Bye-bye.